what we found is there was ample evidence that the cars burned from the inside out, the homes burned from the inside out, and that the amount of scorching, charring, and whatnot on the trees around different things that burned did not support that narrative that the fire spread from the forest to all these other things that burned up in totality. What we did not see, Sarah, we did not see evidence to support the narrative that the fire came from the wildland and caught all of these things on fire. We did not see that. We saw no evidence of that. And Matt and I have, between the two of us, 60 years combined experience in the fire service.
Get the best priced and most bioavailable TA65 telomere lengthening product on the market, the BioEnhance TA65. Being that TA65 has been proven to lengthen human telomeres, it has historically been priced at thousands of dollars and out of reach for most people. But this new low-dose formulation with up to 50 times better absorption now makes it a realistic option for those seeking the telomere lengthening benefits of TA65. At only $100 per bottle, it is now more affordable than ever at the lowest price seen in the market. Buy today with confidence with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have John Lord coming to the show. He has an extensive background as a fire captain. He's been in the military. He's been a paramedic. He's done a lot of interesting work in his past, but he has a lot of experience being a fire captain, which I was referred to him and told that I should really talk to him about the California fires. And I'm sure many of you who are truth seekers have seen the anomalies that are happening in the California fires and the Paradise and the Hub fire. And he's going to talk about some of that. And then we're going to go farther and talk about what he thinks maybe happened and then maybe some patterns of behavior and what people can do to protect themselves. And I, you know, if this doesn't red pill people of those fires and what the anomalies they found, then I don't know what will. And I said that during the show as well. It's so odd. They've never seen this. It's him and a team of a couple other fire captains that he's working with and experts. And they just have never seen this type. And he's going to explain that this does not happen in fires. And he's going to explain some of the things that he's seen. And they're doing more research. I mean, constantly. This is what they're retired and they're spending their time trying to figure this out and what's really going on and sharing the information with people so that they can protect themselves and their loved ones in case they're in line for something like this in their own homes. So I just want to remind you that to help support the show, I have exclusive ebooks and research and things that I have on my Patreon. And I want to thank all of you who do support the show. And, you know, with the censorship really heating up, I did a show on censorship and a lot of people have been talking about it. And I'm serious. It's really heating up here. Please share important stories. Please support the independent journalists that you believe are doing good work. And you don't have to support monetarily. You can support just by sharing and talking about the stories, sharing their work with others, maybe also doing it in email and word of mouth because a lot of the social media networks are really censoring as well. So find different alternative ways to get this information out to people. And because that is a huge help. I mean, we need an army of people to get this information out. Otherwise, it's just not going to get out. And without this information getting out to the people, we're not going to be able to solve these problems. We're not even going to make a dent in it without everybody who knows helping out. So let's get into my interview now with John Lord. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me on your program. I love your channel and what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I was told you were recommended to me that I really needed to talk to you because you have other people in California who have been past fire captains. And you also have a history of being in the military and other things. And you're seeing a lot of anomalies and just problems with the fires that were in California that you've never seen before, that don't make sense. And now you're starting to put pieces together of seeing a pattern. And the pattern part is really fascinating for me. But what really intrigued me about talking to you is your background and your experience, the vast experience of seeing so much of this and going, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. It's never been like this before. So first, can you explain, you know, I know you've done this on other shows, so I don't want to go into it in super detail, but enough where people get the point. What are these anomalies that you've seen that are just not right with this fire, and it doesn't make sense for just a normal fire?
The anomalies that don't fit the narrative that's being spun out there, those anomalies?
Those anomalies, yeah. Yeah, those.
Okay. Well, it's a deep question. It's a deep question. So, and I, like you said, I don't want to get into too much detail, but number one, let's take a look at the car destruction. Okay. Remember that a car is a combination of combustible materials, which would burn, with enough heat and enough source, and also non-combustible materials like the body. Okay, so the body's non-combustible. So the cars, when we were doing our forensic examination on these different fires, the burn patterns on the cars was very, very consistent. All the plastics on the car were gone. They're completely consumed, and that includes nowadays on the newer cars, front bumper, rear bumper, taillights, turn signals, all the external parts that normally wouldn't burn in a car fire. A car fire usually is confined to the engine compartment or the passenger space. So what caused these combustible materials on the outside of the body to be completely consumed, including the tires? So consistent burn patterns on the cars that could not be explained.
That you haven't seen before. I mean, this was like a whole brand new pattern. Okay.
It's a whole brand new pattern. And in our forensic investigation of the Paradise fires, we went up there December 2nd, 7th, and the 14th, I believe. And on our forensic investigation, the external features, the flora and the fauna, did not support that level of total combustion. There was nothing to indicate what would have caused every piece of plastic, every combustible material on those cars to be consumed. So
that's pretty interesting. What just tells you this isn't normal? What else did you see that was just, come on guys, this is obvious that this is a different situation.
Okay. So the narrative that we've been fed on the California fires is that somehow there was a problem with PG&E distribution lines, main power lines, and that it caused a fire, and that the fire spread through the wildland and caused all this destruction in the homes, the cars, and everything else. And what we found up there was completely the opposite. We found that there was not evidence up there to support that narrative. What we found is there was ample evidence that the cars burned from the inside out, the homes burned from the inside out, and that the amount of scorching, charring, and whatnot on the trees around different things that burned did not support that narrative that the fire spread from the forest to all these other things that burned up in totality. So that was our basic conclusion.
So how do things burn from the inside out?
We suspect that it was some type of microwave energy. That's what we suspect. And I don't have the background in physics to be able to to support that. I'm sure there's others out there that do, but it appears to be microwave energy. A couple other sidelines on this is that we found destruction of fence posts that were, and I have all of this stuff cataloged. It's all photographed. I have over 300 photos from Paradise. But fence posts where there was heavy charring and a level of destruction on the fence posts where there was wire wrapped around it or large fasteners like spikes put through it. And that's where the destruction was. So we believe, you know, and I mean, if you want to back it off, if you take a piece of wood, you know, that's maybe, I don't know, 16 inches long or whatever, whatever will fit in your microwave. If you wrap it with wire and put it in your microwave, you're going to see arcs and sparks and all kinds of things coming off the metal. And, you know, if anybody wants to try to duplicate this, be very, very careful, okay? Because you don't want to catch your microwave on fire and cause a kitchen fire. But when you remove that piece of wood that's wrapped with metal, what you're going to find is that there's significant charring on the wood where the metal was wrapped around the wood. And that's what we saw in Paradise, wood fence posts and other things.
And the plastic melting is consistent of it being next to metal that's sparking and heating up.
Yes, it, actually in contact with it. So think about your car. Think about the interior of your car. Your headliner in your car is combustible. It's in contact with the roof of the car. Your dashboard, the plastic in your dashboard is all combustible. It's in contact with metal. The seats are combustible, and they're stretched around foam in a metal frame. So everything's in contact with metal. And what we saw was that what appears to be some sort of energy that energized and heated up the metals and actually caused the fires. And what we did not see, Sarah, we did not see evidence to support the narrative that the fire came from the wild land and caught all of these things on fire. We did not see that. We saw no evidence of that. And Matt and I have, between the two of us, 60 years combined experience in the fire service.
How about the homes? How does a home start from, I mean, obviously a lot of homes start from the inside out, but those are individual, mm-hmm. you know, anomalies in and of themselves, and somebody starts their own home on fire somehow. But when you have home after home after home and just continuous, how does that happen?
Again, the evidence suggested that the fire originated on the inside of the structures, and then the structures collapsed inward. And pretty much there was total consumption of the combustible contents inside, but everything had collapsed inward toward the, you know, toward the inside of the house. And what you saw was a debris pile with the foundation of the home around it. So we didn't find any evidence of things collapsing outward. And the thing that's unusual about the structures is that normally when you have a structure fire, there's something left. Okay, whether or not the fire department gets there and puts it out, there's usually things that are combustible that are left. And in all the cases that we looked at up there with the homes, they were completely consumed except for the various metal things that were inside the structure. So such as your washer, your dryer, wood stove, things like that. So we suspect that what happened is that there was a microwave energy used that caused the metals to heat up. And if you think about a house, it's got a gazillion fasteners in it, okay, nails and gang nail plates in the roof system and all kinds of different metals. And we suspect that it heated up those metals and caused all of the combustible materials to reach their ignition point. That's what we think happened, and we think the same thing happened with the cars.
Well, how does this fire spread? Because it was spreading at speeds that you guys haven't seen before, from what I understand. It wasn't, was it going from house to house? I mean, what was happening to the vegetation in between the houses?
The vegetation was relatively untouched, believe it or not.
Okay, you guys so might, you guys probably feel like you're in a flipping Twilight Zone looking at this stuff.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it was surreal. And when we went up there on December 2nd, we still were not able to get into the actual fire area. So we did a lot of peripheral research to see what was going on up there. Then when we went in on the 7th and the 14th, we were actually able to get in. That's when we took our photographs, and we also surveyed a very large geographical area up there. So we drove around and we looked at different things that we saw in close detail. So, you know, obviously that's not enough time to survey every structure up there. But, you know, I just found it interesting that, you know, right away there was this sort of narrative being created that it was a PG&E problem that caused the fire. To me, it was very reminiscent of the World Trade Center, where you had this catastrophic collapse of the Twin Towers, and right away they're telling you who did it. So it was reminiscent of that, and that's why I was very suspicious, especially after the Tubbs fire. We saw a lot of anomalies with the Tubbs fire. You know, Sarah, how does a wildland fire flip cars upside down? That was what was going on with the Tubbs fire. And in the Tubbs fire, it was a little bit different because what you saw from overhead photography and whatnot is that the stem wall of the foundation was the only recognizable feature of the house. The toilets were gone. The washer and dryer was gone. The sinks, everything in the house that is non-combustible was gone. Just gone.
Gosh,
so where'd it go?
So it's just so bizarre. Now that you've seen all this and you just go, okay, this is not normal. We know there's something wrong here. It's one of those things where if you haven't been red pilled before, it should red pill you if you're able to get out of the box somehow. Some people are just so stuck they can't get out of it. But if that doesn't red pill you, then maybe you can't be red pilled. I don't know. So if you personally experienced it, right? It's different from people across the country or just listening to the news or whatever, because it's not the same than seeing it firsthand, especially with your background and experience. But knowing that you have that background and experience, you are starting to put some pieces together, creating some ideas. Now, we don't know when you start talking about theories. So I want to talk to you a little bit about theories, knowing it's theories. I like to look at actions and facts, and theories aren't necessarily that. Mm-hmm. But at least we can get some intelligent idea of what you're thinking. And then I want to talk about patterns, because you're starting to see that maybe there's some stuff going to happen in the future based on some of the things that you're putting together. So let's start with some of your theories.
Okay, the main theory that I mentioned is that we suspect, based on our 60 years of combined experience, that there is high-tech weapons being used to start these fires and to steer them and actually cause the destruction that we're seeing. And my first video that I did I actually presented this conclusion was after the Tubbs fire, and I did I knew something was wrong with the Tubbs fire. There was over 100 starts that evening in the middle of the night. And then this fire, those fires roared like a freight train southwest towards Santa Rosa, burned across six lanes of 101, burned down 100,000-foot Kmart store that's fully sprinklered, and left these neighborhoods decimated. I mean decimated, Sarah, where the trees in these neighborhoods were still green and still standing. So the question comes down to this. It's this simple. If you're telling us that this was a forest fire that did all this damage, how come the trees are still green? What caused that fire to move that fast at those kinds of speeds and do all that destruction and left the trees alone? See, it just doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. If this doesn't red pill you that there's something weird going on, what will? Especially with the media not questioning it at all. They're just going forward. They're a bunch of zombies. So what are you starting to see that's a pattern? I mean, this is what's really significant, is you're starting to see, well, maybe what the next places are going to be based on some of the behaviors that you're seeing, because that is that's important information. That might give some people some clues to prepare. That could save some lives.
It is. It is. It's very important information. So what I would say to people in California is be aware of what's going on with the weather. Now, I know from my research that the weather has been weaponized. And I think if you look at what's going on across the nation right now, that you can clearly see that. Now, this is not, they're not just picking on the United States, they're not just picking on California. This is a global event. The weather has been weaponized. And if you look at the amount of rainfall that we have just experienced in the last several months and the abnormal precipitation, and then just within the last couple of days, the number of tornadoes, it's like 750 tornadoes back in the kind of the Midwest and Texas and those areas. Just the abnormal weather, and this all plays into chemtrailing and use of high technology things such as HAARP and different things that they're using to cause this aberrant weather. And so we would pause to ask ourselves, well, you know, why would they do this? Why would they do this, Sarah?
I mean, it does sound like you're nut jobby. If you're not, and I don't mean to interrupt you, it is one of those areas that if you're not seeing it and you're not experiencing it, and you're not really, it is one of those areas that makes somebody pause and go, wait a minute, this person's kind of off out of there. But that's why you go to the why. And what are you seeing? What are you thinking?
The why is all related to Agenda 21. That's the why. They want us off the land. It's well spelled out in Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. They're trying to drive us off the land. And they really don't like humanity. So anything else they can accomplish in the meantime, such as ruining farmland and agriculture, to reduce the food supply, they're on board with that. That's what's going on here. It's a planned agenda.
You know, for people that might have a hard time getting their head around something like this, if you look at Stalin, I keep going back to Stalin and Lenin in the USSR, they wanted to exterminate large groups of people for the purpose of having more control, and especially the people that spoke up or who were more educated, they really wanted to get rid of, because that was their most direct competition to being able to control everybody. And the estimates are up to 100 million people that they killed just in that area. If human beings could do this, they could do it anywhere.
Yes. What's happening here? So back to what to watch for. Number one is to watch the weather, pay close attention. So in the winter of 2016, during the winter, we had this unusually wet winter through California. This is after 10 plus years of drought. Okay, so you know they were calling it the atmospheric river, and we had a huge amount of snowfall, a lot of rain down at the lower altitudes. Just an unusually wet winter. Okay, I think that was in 2016, and then as we moved 2016, 2017, and then as we moved into the summer months, it was like somebody flipped a switch down here, Sarah. It was like literally like somebody flipped a switch. The precipitation, the moisture just shut off, and we were in all of a sudden in these ungodly hot, dry conditions. And so then they created a new term for it called flash drought. Oh, this is flash drought. Huh?
Because you haven't flash seen drought. That before. Is a flash drought, whatever the term they created, is that a new weather pattern that you haven't seen?
Yes. It appears to be completely associated with weather engineering. So that's the one thing I would tell people to watch for is watch the weather. And if you see things starting to dramatically heat up, okay, because we just had another really wet winter, Sarah. And so if you see things dramatically start to heat up like that, that's a red flag.
Now, did this happen?
That's number one.
Did this happen before the Paradise fire as well?
Yes. You know what? It's engineered in. Sometimes it takes them, you know, it takes them some time to do it. But it's all related to manipulation of the weather. So if it starts to heat up, then we're back into, we don't have to, you know, worry so much about the rain. Now we have to worry about the fact that the fuels in the forests and whatnot are being heated up.
Okay, so let me ask
see what
you,
I'm getting, yeah?
how would the microwave fires, why would they need this geoengineering to help it along?
The geoengineering helps with, I believe it's five different technologies. It's also combustible. Okay, so the metals that they use in the geoengineering, the nanoparticulates of aluminum and barium and strontium, are combustible metals. Okay, now when we were examining the Paradise fire, we did not see the level of destruction on the trees that we would suspect with these combustible metals coming down and floating and settling in the branches of the trees. We just didn't see it. So that's when we started to think that there was a different technology that was employed. And that was also consistent with the trees up there, Sarah. The trees up there that got burned from the inside out down at the base of the tree close to the earth.
So again, then, what do you think the geoengineering, I mean, we see all these anomalies, but how, again, I'm having a problem figuring out how that geoengineering weather stuff helps these fires with the microwave or high-tech weaponry. And I can see how, from a logical standpoint, how that could be, there could be a way to do that. But based on your observations at this point, what about that weather is helping, you know the question. At this point, what are you seeing?
The geoengineering is a necessary component for them to use some of the technologies that they're using to manipulate the weather.
Do you not know what those details are, or do you have other experts that you're working with that have figured it out, or?
There's several different ones. There's HARP. Have you heard of HARP?
Mm-hmm.
which is highly active auroral research project. There's a great big heart facility up in Alaska. And then there's another one in, I forget what the island chain is, off the coast of Southern California. But they've installed these sites all over the world, and they're doing different things with the weather. So if I want to starve the people in California out and get them off the land, what better way than to cause a drought for 10 years in a row?
Are you saying that the geoengineering of weather is more part of Agenda 21 or Agenda 30 to get people off the land, but not necessarily related to the fires? It's just two separate tracks of getting people off the land.
It is related, but with the Paradise Fire, it did not seem to be as big of a factor.
Okay, that's fair. So how about the other fire?
Okay. Say what now?
How about the other fire where the cars flipped over? What was the name of that one? The Hubs?
The Tubbs
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, the Tubbs, yeah.
That's the one that really got my attention. So porcelain, melting point on porcelain is about 3,500 degrees. What you would normally find with a structure fire down low where the toilet is, okay, would be about 300 degrees.
Oh, geez. Okay.
The toilets were gone. Cars flipped upside down. Things all askew. This one guy, I remember watching this video, this one guy, and he's standing in his driveway, and somebody's videotaping him. And he says, oh, see that truck there on the side? He goes, that's my son's truck. See anything missing? Oh, yeah, the engine. The engine's missing out of the truck. He said, the engine block's in my house. What kind of natural phenomena does that? Something blew the engine block out of this car and displaced it into what was left of his home, which was basically a foundation and rubble. Very little rubble. Most of it burned up in that fire.
Jeez. Okay. So we're thinking that it takes some of the chemicals in the air to settle and to get around to help with these weapons. That's what we're thinking. And they're putting chemicals around. But
yes, that's accurate.
Okay. But we haven't quite nailed down. I mean, it's still in process of trying to figure this stuff out. Not really quite nailed down exactly what's causing that interaction.
Well, we know enough about the geoengineering and some of the other technologies to know that they are using different things to manipulate the weather. And that we also believe that there's different high-tech directed energy weapons that are being used.
Okay. Well, it's obvious it's obvious something's going on. Oh, the Twilight Zone. It's something is not right here. It reminds me of Building 7 going down, where it's like, oh, come on. It's so obvious that there's something going on. And the other thing that makes it obvious is the media just completely ignoring it. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, now that was another obvious, in the government.
That's always very telling.
Yeah, when the media and the government and everybody ignores it, yes. So what are you doing now to pinpoint where the next targets might be and how to educate yourself and others around you to make a difference? You know, I mean, because we start to notice this stuff. How do we, and there's more and more people waking up that can make a difference and help out.
I took the time to do the research with Matt with the Paradise Fires. And as a result of that research, we produced five videos on supposedly Shelley on YouTube. And those videos, we went over the evidence very carefully. You and I are just kind of doing like a Reader's Digest condensed version right now. But
yeah, which I saw those. Those are great. I highly recommend people to go in and look at it. You know, it's a long time they have to spend and invest to really get an idea of what's going on. But it was a good job that she did and you guys did on those videos.
Yeah, she's great. So, and the other thing that I'm doing is this weekend on Sunday, actually, I'm gonna split the trip. I'm gonna go down to my sister's on Saturday, and then Sunday we're going up into the Sierra Foothill. And what's been reported up there is that there is a high level of activity from an outside contractor working for PG&E doing work up there. And that gives me great pause for concern because that same thing was going on in Paradise. So there was a huge, huge equipment staging area in Paradise that was set up at least 2 weeks in advance to the fires. And when after the fires, they were doing work in the Paradise area, they wouldn't let any of the homeowners back in for like a couple of weeks, but they're doing work in the Paradise area on all these utilities, and they were removing timber and all kinds of other stuff up there. And knowing that that was a finding with the Paradise fires, and that's going on the Sierra Foothill right now in Tuolumne County, which is about 55,000 people that live in that county. Anyway, knowing that that's going on, we're going to go up and we're going to have a closer look on Sunday.
Well,
I'm
that's
going to take
good.
my digital camera and take some photographs.
Well, because we know that a lot of
So,
people
we got to
died.
expose these people, Sarah.
Yeah.
We got to expose these people.
Well, a lot of people died in these fires, right? I mean, they didn't just lose everything they had, but people died. And so we have
Sarah, people died trying to flee the Paradise fires in their cars. They were burned alive in their cars.
Yeah.
That's what happened up there. They were bumper to bumper trying to get out of the fire area, and they were burned alive in their cars. Some of the people that survived it reported that they could feel the heat inside their car, and it was because we believe it was because all the metal in their car was being heated up.
Now, when they were burned alive in their cars, were there fire around them, or were there no fire around them, and then suddenly the car started
There was some fire around them. There was some fire
like
around them.
houses, but and the vegetation?
I don't believe that's what killed them. I believe it was some kind of microwave energy heated up their cars and just caused their cars, the insides of their cars, to automatically combust.
Okay.
But there
Wow. I
was
mean, if this doesn't go ahead.
we interviewed tow drivers on December 2nd that had been working in that area, clearing the vehicles off the roadway. And what they did initially, which if anybody's done any of the research, they'll see images where all these cars are burned and they were pushed off to the shoulder of the road on both sides. And so what they did initially was they pushed them off the side of the road and then had these tow companies come in and hook up to them and haul them away. And from the testimony from the tow drivers, they could see that there was people inside those cars that were burned
Oh,
alive.
geez.
I
Yeah.
know, it's unbelievable.
Well, if this isn't a national security issue, I don't know what else would be in it. And the media hearing these things, they're just not doing their job. And I get so angry
No,
that they're
they're not.
complicit. I realize that there's human compromise and that they feel like they're going to lose their jobs. But at some point, have some courage, you know, have some courage. But okay, well, how can people get hold of you or at least see your work more?
That would be. Sorry, I meant
That's
to
okay.
turn that off. That would be on YouTube under supposedly Shelley. That's the main body of my work. And then there's other interviews and stuff that I've done elsewhere. Some of them are on Mike Adams' channel, Brighteon.
Okay, so
But
you go ahead.
they've been messing with Mike Adams' channel a lot. It's hard to find things on there.
Oh yeah, I
I
can
mean, it's
imagine.
got.
He's been a target. Now, you don't have your own website or your own channel or anything that people can go to. It's things like this.
No.
it's what, you know, talking to me and supposedly Shelly, she did a great job, and then yeah. other people. Well, good. Well, then we're going to have to keep contact with you as we go so that people can learn about your research as you go along. I mean, because you're learning as you go along. I mean, you only can know what you know. And I appreciate yeah. the fact that you're not just making stuff up. You're only sharing facts as you get to know what the actual facts are, because if we do more than that, that doesn't help us much. I mean, we can theorize to maybe see if it goes that direction or whatever, but we really have to stick to the facts and be smart about what we're doing.
Absolutely. So we talked about the one thing that people can watch for, and that's a dramatic shift in the weather where all of a sudden it's very hot. Here's another thing. Before the Tubbs fire, the Carr fire, which was the Redding one, the Paradise fire, and also the fires that occurred where I live here in Lake County, the week beforehand, before those fires, there was heavy chemtrailing. Mm. Okay? So that's another thing to watch for, is a bout of heavy chemtrailing. So hot, dry conditions backed up by heavy chemtrailing. That's another thing to watch for. And then the additional thing to watch for, and hopefully there's some people in the Sierra foothills that will be watching your channel that will kind of perk up and say, yeah, you know what he's saying is true. I've been seeing a lot of this activity too, but watch for these independent contractors coming in advance and kind of doing whatever they're doing and kind of prepping things. Now we're told that they're a subcontractor to PG&E and that they're removing trees and whatnot to, so that they're not around the power lines. But
you don't believe it.
Well, just the fact that they were in Paradise at least 2 weeks ahead of the fire just caused for great concern. And why these people couldn't return to what was or was not left of their homes. They were literally on lockdown. They couldn't get into that area. And that was the evidence destruction phase.
Because they don't do that in normal fires. They don't disallow people to go in and get their stuff.
Well, not normally, no. But I mean, that was pretty widespread destruction. But I can understand the thing of them wanting to keep out looters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they had entire teams of people in there working during this whole interval where people were disallowed from even seeing if there was anything left of their homes. I mean, just really sad, sad, sad stuff. It's
well, how can people realistically prepare for this? Okay, so they might be in an area that could get hit in 2 weeks or something. How does somebody realistically prepare for it?
Okay, well, number one is have a plan. Okay, you have to have a plan, and that's potential escape routes, monitoring where your children are, how you're going to collect your children, your loved ones, if something does go down. So number one is planning. Number two is don't wait for the emergency to erupt to pack what we call a go bag or an overnight bag. Your documents, you know, your passport, your birth certificates, all those types of things. Don't wait. Have those ready to go. You need to be able to bug out like in 5 minutes. So you have to have everything that you're going to take with you ready to go.
Well, that's good advice. Ways. And something and then, that they money a way to survive.
Some flat cash, yeah, yep, flat cash.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks for devoting your time to figuring this out. We are so thankful and we're so glad that we have someone like you devoting their time to helping out humanity. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Sarah. I love your show. Thank you for having me. Keep up the good work because, you know, we're just going to keep people like us are just going to keep pounding the drum and, you know, we're going to win this thing. This is a spiritual battle between good and evil and we're going to win this, but it doesn't preclude people from jumping in and getting involved, especially be involved in your own community. I mean, monitoring what's going on around you. You start to see this kind of stuff go on, it's like, pay attention, get involved. So they're very sneaky about what they do.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of strange. The more I learn, the more I'm, wow, okay. Well, thank you so much, and you have an amazing rest of your day.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Get some rest, dear.